I didn't know what it was for a year and a half. So I just thought, oh, this is the worst flu.
flu won't go away.
Yeah, it just keeps going, keeps happening. And eventually I decided that, you know, I needed to do something about it that felt proactive and
right.
Felt like it was helping people in some way and helping myself in some way.
Hello, and welcome back to the Chronically Positive Podcast. I'm your host, Isla Oxman, and this is a space where we share inspiring stories, creative ideas, and honest conversations about living with chronic illness. Today, I am beyond excited to introduce you to a guest whose work is inspiring as it is impactful, Joe Glasgow. Joe Glasgow is a writer, producer, and all-around creative powerhouse. He's dedicated to making the world a brighter place, whether it's through his incredible children's books or the content he creates for fellow Spoonies. We'll also dive into how Joe uses creativity, humor, and meaningful connections to cope with the challenges of living with chronic illness. Whether you're a fellow Spoonie, a parent, or someone looking for inspiration, you're in for a treat. So grab a cup of tea or coffee, get comfy, and let's jump in. Thank you so much for wanting to be on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I recently discovered you on Instagram. You like popped up, and I thought we have kind of a lot of similarities with how we reach out to the chronic illness community. So I thought it'd be a fun chat. So I guess before we get into all the positive stuff, I like to just talk about how you got there. So your story and how you ended up where you are now.
Yeah. So I kind of explain it as like, I've always probably been a little sick, you know?
I totally feel that.
Probably always been a little chronically ill.
Like, yeah.
I look back on certain things and I'm like, oh yeah, like hip surgery when you're 14, like that's not normal. Like, you know, like having to quit sports because you're like an old man at 15, that's not normal. Like, it all makes sense in retrospect now, but the kind of big catalyst was getting COVID. I got COVID very early in January, February of 2020.
Wow. Okay.
So like early on before, you know, we really knew what it was or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
And then my long COVID actually started March of 2020. And that just kind of sped everything up and, you know, exacerbated everything.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was going from what was a sustainable, pretty healthy feeling life to like immediately in bed, you know, immediately just completely debilitated from most things. And since then, you know, it was a couple years of just trying to get my bearings with it. I mean, I think a lot of people know that, right? It takes a while to just understand what's going on and even just like accept what's going on.
Yeah.
I think for a long time I was like, okay, you know, I think this is gonna end anytime soon, because I didn't know what it was for a year and a half. So I just thought, oh, this is the worst flu.
that won't go away.
Yeah, it just keeps going, keeps happening. And eventually I decided that, you know, I needed to do something about it that felt proactive and felt like it was helping people in some way and helping myself in some way. And so that's when I kind of started doing these videos and writing about it and just trying to make things about it to where people can feel seen with it. Because, you know, I think, as you know, too, like, it feels very isolating when you have it. So I think letting people know that they're not alone with all this stuff is important in whichever way you can do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And like you said, I definitely was kind of a sick kid. Like, I danced all of elementary and middle school, and then I stopped because my hips were popping out of place. And it was like, but we're not going to follow up on it. She's just growing and things are falling off of her. Exactly. And then all through college, my heart rate was like in the 200s, but I functioned. I wasn't like passing out or anything.
Sure.
And then after I actually got COVID after I got really sick. But after my third COVID vaccine is when everything flipped for me too. Could not stand up without fainting. I don't know if it was a coincidence. Mm-hmm. I had a very robust reaction to the third COVID vaccine. So whether it was that, but it was just one day I was just kind of living with what was my normal for most of my life. And then the next, it was like, I can't move. I can't stand up. Couldn't do it. My mom was dragging me to the bathroom on a blanket because I couldn't walk to the bathroom.
It is a very bizarre feeling. And I feel specifically bad for people who've had the adverse reaction to the vaccine, because it's hard to tell people in this like very polarized world, like, hey, the vaccine got me sick. When you're like, hey, I believe in vaccines, like I believe in them.
Yeah.
Get them, all that. But also, yes, like for some people, it does hurt. Vaccines injuries are real for some people.
Yeah. And,
you know, I feel bad that like, I don't know, a lot of the people I've heard who've had that reaction, like, have to use this preface where they're like, I believe in science. Also, also this hurt.
So seriously, because before I got ill from my third vaccine, I was in a very angry place of like for people who were choosing not to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
I have a much more open mind. Like, but I was like, yeah. Every time I heard someone wasn't getting vaccinated because they were worried about something happening to them, like I would get upset.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, girl.
As you're getting dragged on a blanket.
Literally, and then going to the hospital twice via ambulance. Like,
oh no. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, those are always the worst trips too. You're like doing the calculations of how much it's gonna cost.
And they're like, hey,
there's nothing we can do. Thanks for coming in though.
No. And so yeah. In college, every year that I was in college, I went to the hospital because I would pass out randomly and people around me didn't know what was going on, so they would just call. And I obviously I didn't know either, but I was like, no guys, this is normal. It happens like once every 6 months.
You guys don't get your normal pass out every 6 months?
My freshman year of college, I woke up one morning and got out of bed and I just passed out and my roommate was like,
oh no.
And it was one of the first times that I really started consistently passing out, but functional.
Yeah.
My freshman when I was 18. And so the first time it happened, have you full on fainted before? I don't know.
I always get like pre-syncope.
Yeah, but like, it's a very scary feeling.
Very scary feeling, yeah.
And I was like, call 911. I feel like I'm dying. Cause like, I'm like, I'm blind.
Yeah, cause everything stops working, right? Like your legs stop working, your ears stop working, your eyes.
But you're still
working.
There though with the the pre-syncope is for me is this scarier than just all of a sudden blacking out, which is dangerous. Cause then
I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
I'm like, when that's happened to me, it's happened to me many times, I'm like, I wish I was just out.
No, it's so prolonged and it goes on and on. I feel like also too, the pre-syncope episodes can be different in severity. And one time I had pre-syncope and I was like, my face is numb. And it's like, it's so scary. It is a really, when people think, oh, POTS is just a faint, or dysautonomia is just like a fainting disorder. It's like, but to get to the faint is like terrifying. Like, it's,
you go through every level of hell to get there.
Exactly. And a lot of the times you don't even faint. Because the times that I've like full on fainted, I've woken up and like, I feel like I've had like this like refreshing reset kind of. But then like you have the pre-syncope and it's just like, I want to throw up and...
Yeah, there's no positive afterwards feeling.
No.
No, I'm just kind of coming out of it, I guess. Like, I just ate a bunch of sugar, so I guess I'm alive.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Very scary. So it used to freak me out a lot.
You're making me think, too. I'm remembering times in college where that happened to me now. I'm like looking back. I'm like, that wasn't normal that, like, during your film school competition that you just, like, had pre-syncope for like 2 hours and like couldn't get out of the couch or whatever.
Yeah, and it's wild how long it can last too. It's I remember whenever I would drink in college, I stopped drinking because alcohol makes your blood pressure low or whatever. I'm like, I'm not drunk, but I feel like the room is spinning.
Yeah.
I've had half a beer and I
can't. You're just saving money by being chronically ill.
No, like I literally, I'm unwell. Now I get so like overheated at frat parties and just like looking back, it's just wild how you slowly but you slowly adjusted to each kind of bump. But with me and you, the drastic from the COVID and the COVID vaccine is like, you can't just glide through that.
We couldn't stand at a frat party again.
This ever. Is the boss level.
truly. It's really final boss.
Yeah. So before you got sick, what were you doing?
I was living in New York. I was just living a very like not unhealthy in a way where I was like, you know, wasn't drinking very much. I wasn't like eating poorly, anything like that.
Yeah.
I was just working too much and not sleeping enough. And so I was working in both comedy and travel. And okay. So I was doing like everything that I can't do now, you know, like I was literally doing a travel podcast. Like I was like going wow. like around the world and like, you know, travel is my favorite thing in the world. So yeah. I obviously can't do it very much now, but, but that, literally up until the second I got sick, I was, on this cross-country road trip for a travel company, and so I like got very sick,
yeah,
very far from home the very first time, which was it just adds on to that, you know, extra fear of like leaving your safe place, you know.
Getting sick from home is like my worst fear.
It's
away
so
from home, yeah.
It's so well, there's the term, there's agoraphobia, right, which is like being afraid of like being outside or being away from home.
Yeah,
I feel like there's a a version on top of that where it's like, yeah, getting really sick away from home is its own special phobia.
Absolutely, especially with a chronic illness.
Yes, yes. When you're like, I don't know what's gonna happen. Like I, you know, we're on our toes at all times with this anyway. We get surprised with symptoms, and it's like, I don't want to try out a new flavor.
Yeah. You
know, plane somewhere.
Well, I flew for the first time 2 weeks ago since I've been diagnosed.
Congrats.
And I was panicked, but it was really just the pre like what ifs. Really freaked me out,
which I think like people outside of this community, you know, if they lack empathy, will be like, well, then it's just anxiety. It's like, no, it's the anxiety that we have to deal with because of this like very real physical thing.
Yes.
You know, yeah, truly. I don't know how people, even healthy people, like fly on long flights, like with the amount they're allowed to bring. Like we're talking about the liquids thing. I'm right there with you. Like I bring all my medicine and stuff.
Yeah.
And luckily they're like, okay, medical purpose. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my whole carry-on is food. Like you're saying, like, it's like, yeah, I can't, my diet is so lame now. Like I can't have anything. So
yeah.
I have to bring all the stuff I can't have. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah.
Okay. So back to what you're saying, you were on the road or.
Yeah, I was working for this travel company, and I was it was the job itself was literally a road trip from Portland all the way to New York and then all the way back to Portland. Like it was going to be the entire US there and back, and I made it 2 days in, and this was March 7th, and by the time I got into Moab, this was like the second day of driving.
Yeah.
It was a really long day. I got into the this grocery store, and it was like when the lights hit, like every pre-symptom,
symptom,
just really set in. And yeah, it was embarrassing, right? Like, I mean, I didn't know what was going on, and I was managing a couple other people on this trip. And so it was like, you know, it was like sad to have to like call the person who was like my assistant and be like, hey, like, I need you to come pick me up from this grocery
store.
Like, I don't know what's happening, but I am sitting in the produce aisle. Like,
oh my gosh.
And they were like, the people at the grocery store were so sweet. And they fed me.
Oh my God.
I was just sitting there like I owned the place, which was very kind. But yeah, that was kind of like the moment, and it hasn't been the same since.
Yeah, a lot of people say that they have that moment. I know this one other person who I follow is like, their moment was in Starbucks, and and it's just so weird how quickly I was like, I didn't used to be this profound. Why can't I just wonder, like, how has it just changed like that?
Oh, I'm right there with you. And even like, there's been times throughout that. I mean, it's been like four and a half years or so. And there were times where I felt a lot better than I do now throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and it's been a long time since I've felt that. So I'm right there with you on the beforehand. And I'm also right there with you on the like, God, I just want to get back to like 3 years ago where like I could, you know, I was in good enough shape to go on walks and all that
stuff.
Yeah, I know that frustration well.
It is. A lot of it is grief too.
Yeah.
Oh, so, wow. So you had COVID before we even knew about it? Is what used to be in January?
Yeah, I had hipster COVID. I had before.
OG COVID.
OG COVID. Yeah. I think that I got it. I was in Rome in January of 2020, and it was bad in Italy very early on. And so I think I got it then. And even I look back on that now, and I even remember being at the Rome airport, flying back to the US, and then on the screen, it was like coronavirus outbreak, and just thinking nothing of it, being like, what does that mean? Like, I have no idea. Meanwhile, it's like definitely.
It's in me, and I don't even know it yet. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Very call is coming from inside the house. Like it was already there.
Oh, wow. And did you get pretty sick or?
My actual initial infection, you know, when I look back on it now, there were some, it was a little tougher than the flu in some ways.
Yeah.
But in other ways, it was a sore throat. It was a cough. It wasn't that bad. Looking back on it, like, I think the long COVID symptoms were already starting leading up to that, like, you know, March 6th, March 7th.
Yeah.
Takedown. But the actual COVID infections I've gotten haven't, luckily, I feel very lucky with that, haven't been too bad.
It's so interesting because as you were starting your long COVID journey, that's like when I was sent home from my junior year of college.
Really? Oh, yeah. Gosh, you were in that group of, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I don't know how old you are, but I'm almost 26.
I at least got to make it through college and like some years after, after college and like somewhat of a normal world, normal life.
Yeah, that's so interesting to think about, but that's like when you started and like little me has no idea what's about to hit her.
Yeah. Right. Everyone is just like, cool. Yeah, it's fine. What's this COVID thing? Yeah.
No, exactly. They're
like, yeah, two week shutdown. Right. That's it. Yeah.
And then what's so funny for me is like, I was so excited for the vaccines. I was like, give them all to me.
Yeah.
And
then- yeah. Definitely be careful what you wish for. You hear it on all the sides too. And like, I mean, so when I first got the vaccine, I didn't know I had long COVID yet. Yeah. I knew I was very sick, but I did feel better after I got the first one. So it's weird how different bodies respond to it differently.
Yeah.
Some people have gotten their long COVID's gotten worse from it. Some people have gotten better. It just seems to be case by case.
So now to the positive stuff, which you kind of touched on a little bit. So you have a book coming out?
I have a book coming out. Yeah. I just got the proof copy. This is the first bit that's got the little thing where it's like, you can't sell this copy, which isn't as cute as the cover and all that. But the illustrator just did such a good job.
Oh, it's amazing.
Thank you. I'm actually, after this podcast recording, I'm submitting it and it will be published in a day or two. And so like, once this comes out, the book will be out.
That's so exciting.
Podcast comes out, the book will be out.
So where can people purchase your book?
So it'll be, if you go through my, brain fog. If you go through my Instagram, I'll have it on my link there. I'm going to sell it through Amazon first.
Okay.
And then I'll expand it out to other bookstores. So it'll be at Target and Barnes & Noble's website eventually, all that stuff. But just starting with the Amazon stuff, frankly, because my brain's too foggy to like keep track of all the things. It'll be self-published through that. And it's the illustrator's, it's her first book. And so I'm so excited for both of us. I got to put out one last year. And so, but I still feel just as excited for the second one. It feels like a story that I needed to tell.
That's awesome. So you've written another book prior to this book.
Yeah, I wrote one actually like early 2020 times, like during during the quarantine. My childhood best friend and I just were losing our minds and we needed something to do. And so that felt right. Like writing a kid's book, like we were both like, you know, at our parents' houses, like reading our old books. And so we were like, no, it's time. Like we should write our own.
That's awesome. And,
thank you. Yeah. This one's the first one I've written on my own. And I hope that people like in the chronic illness community can read it as like, it's truly just trying to teach readers empathy for like the things they can't see. And so like, as you know, like chronic illness stuff, it's like, most of the stuff is invisible.
Right.
So I just, you know, I want that new generation to like be able to know, like, yeah, sometimes you can't see what's going on with people, and like, just be nice to them, like, be patient with them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. So when did you come up with this idea for this book? Has it been?
This one came up. It was definitely in the realm of chronic illness stuff. Okay. I remember I originally wanted to call it Invisible Powers, you know. Ooh, about like, yeah, the invisible things that you have inside you that can help with all these invisible problems in the world and problems, mm-hmm, with people. And that, you know, I wrote it out and it just didn't feel right. And so I made it a little more broad and called it Be a Hero. And it basically goes through all the fun, you know, all the fun superpowers and like what they can bring for you.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of the book, it says, well, you actually already have a lot of these superpowers. Like, you know, even if you can't fly, you can still lift people up. And even if you can't read minds, you can still listen to what people say and get to know them that way. And so it just tries to teach kids, like, in an exciting way, like, yeah, empathy and kindness and being helpful can make you be someone's hero.
Right. Okay. I love that.
Thank you. Thank awesome. You. It's been fun. I don't know about you, but like, I love reading, and like, some days my brain fog is so bad that like, I can only read kids' books. And so like, I'm kind of trying to rebrand this as like, this, yes, this is a book for kids, but this is also a book for adults who like need a little brain rest day, you know?
Absolutely. So do you know the show Nanoland, or the puppet, the little green Canadian puppet Nanoland?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Okay. So it like went viral for some reason. What's this cute little green puppet? And it's a kid's show, but a lot of adults have been resonating with it because it just,
really?
Because you just feel so calm watching it. So like, that's my thing. And no matter how old I get, I love cartoons. Like, I will always watch cartoons.
Yeah, agreed.
And I will always read a kid's book. I'm just like a kid at heart.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
And so many of these, I mean, it's like all these shows and books and things are written by adults, right? It's like they're writing, of course, in a realm for kids, but at the same time, it's like the messages typically are more understood by adults. Like, I don't know if you've had that where like, you're reading an old kid's book that you read when you were younger, or like watching a cartoon when you're younger, but then you're like, oh, I actually understand what this is about.
This
now.
Is deep.
Yeah, this is really, you're like, why am I sobbing during this cartoon? Like, this is really deep.
Seriously, yeah. Wow. Yeah. So
what are some of your cartoons, or what are some of the cartoons or like kids' books that that stand out?
Well, I've just always been a SpongeBob.
Nice.
Freak. And so my big thing is I love to doodle. And a little bit before I got sick, I started an Instagram page called Doodle Dudes. And I do very simple like doodle illustrations. And then when I got sick, I did like, I really got into it from my bed.
Send me some of your doodle dudes.
Yeah, definitely.
I love, we should collab on something where I love doing some sort of video where it's talking about chronic illness and having drawing happening at the same time.
Yeah, I saw those. Those are so good. If you're listening, people, you should definitely, well, obviously you're listening if you're listening to me talk.
If you're, if you're hearing this. I didn't clock that either. I was like, yeah, yes, if you are.
Definitely check them out. They're so cool. Are you working on any other project, or is it the book has been at the forefront?
So, the last month, it's mostly been focused on getting the book finished. I do a weekly newsletter called Chronically Creating.
I subscribe.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I love it.
It makes me so happy when people subscribe. I love everything in the Substack realm. That's the app I do it on, where, like, I don't know, you get like 300 followers on Substack and you're like, this is amazing. Like, it's just, everything feels so personal and sweet. And like, you know, there's like famous people with like 800 followers on there and you're like, this is beautiful. You know, everything just feels like more personal and more curated on there. Yeah. Honestly. And so that the newsletter itself, for people who don't know about it, it's just very simple, a minute to 2 minute read of just like how and why to stay creative during the good times and bads. Mm-hmm. And so it's an idea from me, a quote from someone else, and then a prompt for you. And it's again, it's like I write things for people with brain fog. Like, it's very quick.
No, I love it. It's a very quick read.
Thank you.
No, it's really awesome.
One of my favorite things I do, truly. Like, I love to nerd out on anything creative. I love watching interviews of creative people talking and like talking about how they do it.
Yeah.
I really, really love doing that. So it's mostly been those, and then I'll make the videos on Instagram a couple times a week, and I'm excited for, now that this book is about to be published, I'm about to go put a little more effort into the Instagram side of things and kind of coincide that with the first book for adults I'm writing. It's just going to be a nonfiction book about short essays and short stories that hopefully are comedic about having chronic illness. And so those will kind of go together, the videos and the book.
I'm excited for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm pumped. I'm glad I got a couple kids' books, you know, done, because those are short and easy, and now it's like, all right, setting my eyes on something that maybe is a little more challenging.
I was going through your page. It was with drawings. It was it like something about like going out with my, I loved those. You know what I'm talking about? Like going out to dinner or getting out of the car or whatever.
Yeah. That, I love the illustrator did such a good job on those. Sabahat Ahmed, she's amazing. That was about kind of my final date with my girlfriend when I was sick. And so I really wanted to make something about relationships and dating and being in love with chronic illness. Cause I think you mentioned your boyfriend, right? It's just like these people are such beacons, and they're so like great for us. And it's also really hard for them, and it's also really hard for us, like with all of it. And so I had a lot to say about that, and so I really wanted to put something out. So that is actually going to be one of the essays and stories in the book that will be coming out next year.
That's awesome. I think it's really important. A lot of people will comment on my videos or like reach out to me like tips on being with someone when you're chronically ill, and I honestly don't, we're still figuring it out. It's hard. And I wish I had a sensei. I wish we had a sensei, like so I think people really resonate with that, especially people who are afraid to, you know, just like date. I can't even imagine, like, I got sick after I was with my boyfriend. I can't imagine like what it's like trying to start new, you know, and meet somebody.
It's a tough thing. And so I'm right there with you, like with the people who are scared to do it. It's like really wanting to not, you know, push them in any direction, but just let them know like there are people that are going to be patient and there for you. Like it's hard to find, but at the same time, like, it's also a really good vetting system. Like people who will be with you when you're really sick will be with you no matter what.
Exactly. Like
they're there for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to be nurturing. Like I definitely look for that in a partner. Someone.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, and it's like, I think as the chronically ill person in relationships, it's like you want to at some point be the nurturing person, or you want to be the person who helps and whatnot. But you learn that it's never 50-50. And like, you know, sometimes they have to take more of a load. Sometimes on days where you don't feel terrible, you can be kind of a person for them. And it all, like you said, it's all a process. It's all figuring it out. I mean, it's relationships in general. And then you add the very difficult thing that is chronic illness on top of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I don't know what advice I would give to people. Like you're saying, it's just like everyone's figuring it out. But I would just say to people, like, you know, be confident in yourself as a person, of like, you have this illness, but also like you are your own person, and like people are going to love that and be attracted to that. So don't just write yourself off because you think you're going to be an inconvenience.
Exactly. And you're not a burden, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yes.
If you're afraid to ask for help from your partner,
that's
run,
not a good,
or don't run. That's
kind of, right. It's either saying something about the partner, or it's saying something like, you need to become better at asking for help. Truly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, very, very much.
Yeah. All right. We have to find a way to wrap. I have another recording at 7:15.
Oh my
God. I know.
That's, first of all, thank you for the people who weren't involved in our emails. Thank you for being patient with me getting to this point. We had two recordings set up and I was too sick. And so is it even a conversation between two sick people if there isn't one cancellation?
No, and you're not the first. I think most of the recordings I've scheduled have been canceled either because of me or because of them.
it'll happen. The fact that you're doing two in one day is amazing.
I think it was either the first time or the second time you canceled, I was actually probably going to cancel on you as well.
Okay.
I was a mess. So please don't feel bad for at least one of them.
I'm glad I could give you that gift because I love when people cancel on me when I'm sick. It's like, it feels so good. We're like, oh, thank God.
Oh my God. Or real quick tangent again. I was at a wedding and one of my friends was like, I'm so nauseous. Do you have anything in your big bag of medicine that can help? I was like, girl, I got all of it. I am Mary Poppins today. Want you to feel ill, but like, yeah. Whenever I can take care of somebody else.
Oh, we're waiting for that.
I love it.
It feels so good.
It does feel so good. Yes.
Well, I appreciate you doing two recordings in one day. That's wild.
Well, it's my bad because I canceled on this other person. So.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Okay, before we go, is there anything else you want to share, say, leave us with?
I will just one more time plug my new book, Be a Hero. Will be out by the time this podcast comes out, and it'll be in my link on my Instagram, Joe Glasgow Show, or you can message me book or anything like that. I'll send you where to go. Send book now. However you want to say it, I'll know. And if the book is too expensive, times are tough financially, I'll send you a free ebook if you want one. Just shoot me a message just saying, hey, can you send me a free ebook? No questions asked. I got you on a PDF copy at least.
You're awesome. All right. So much, Joe. It was so nice meeting you and getting to know you. I hope we can do this again. And thank you to everyone who was listening. And that's a wrap for today's episode of the Chronically Positive Podcast. A huge thank you to Joe for joining us and sharing his journey, creativity, and humor. If you're as inspired as I am, be sure to check out his newsletter, Chronically Creating, and keep an eye out for his upcoming children's book, Be a Hero. It's such a powerful way to teach empathy, and I know it's going to make a big impact. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe or follow and share it with someone who might need a little positivity in their day. And as always, thank you for being a part of this community. You are the reason I keep doing what I do. We'll be back next week with another amazing guest. Until next time, remember, your journey matters, and there's so much strength in finding meaning and creativity in the challenges we face. Take care, and I'll see you next week.